Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. We continue to be in Dharamsala. Dharamsala is the place where the Tibetan government is in exile. It is a precious place, known by many. And it's a good place for me to continue a discussion. And the discussion is about a revealed Akash. Now, dear ones, we do not always or even often go into an advanced state of training or information, because you get into the issue of a multidimensional teaching. It is so difficult to describe the oneness that truly is attainable in these lands, because you surpass the linear and you go completely past that which you would expect. And this is why you will often see the expression, the explosion of enlightenment. It's almost like you go beyond a certain point, and then suddenly there is an explosion, an aha. And you will find yourself thinking differently, perceiving differently, and all things change inside you. And that is what this land is known for. The achievement of the nirvana, that which is the oneness with everything, in such a way that you are in touch fully with the peace of God inside. The last time we were together, I spoke of the Akash. I gave you hints of how it works. It is a soup of remembrance. It is not linear. It is not a library as you would perceive it. And it's difficult for any human being to truly decipher the nuances of what you call your Akashic record. We told you last time that the things you remember are not what you think. They are not the faces or the times or the events, but they're more of the emotions and the senses, the smells, the colors, and the remembrances of the sounds that somehow might trigger where you have been and what you've gone through. So now let's get into the personal, the faces. But they're not necessarily faces. I would like to talk about what else the Akash remembers and what is in that soup. And what might be in that soup if you had an explosion of enlightenment? If you were able to achieve the oneness, would the Akashic perception suddenly also change? And the answer is yes. Have you ever looked at someone and said, "I know you"? And for most humanity, the answer is yes. You don't have to be an old soul to remember these things. Somehow it's familiar. And it may not necessarily be a face, but there's something within the personality that you start to recognize. It goes way beyond that, dear ones. Let's start talking about what else is in the Akash. When I spoke to the group in Delhi, I told them that in the Akash where pieces and parts of the souls of those you've loved and lost. Now, that's a very advanced thought. It's not necessarily what is taught in these lands. But it starts to explain some things that you feel. Is it possible that those who have you passed on in your life that are blood relatives, at some level, are continuing the journey with you? And the answer is yes. Dear ones, in your sweetest hours, for those of you who have lost your parents, do you find yourself talking to them? Do you find for a moment that there may be an awakening, a doorway where you feel them in a very precious way? The Akash hides so much, and the more you are in touch with the oneness of yourself, the more obvious these things become. Do you think it's possible that all those that have passed over, that you call family, are with you still in some way that is magnificent? Again, the answer is yes. Some will say, well, how can I develop this more? It's not about developing it. It's about allowing it. Again, the disconnection from process is the answer. The disconnection from linearity is the answer. For you sit and ponder the fact that inside you could very well be a piece and a part of that which you thought you had lost in them. And it is there, because that is an elegant system. It's a system of enlightenment. There are so many humans that would never, ever feel this or even believe it. But we present it to you so that you can at least examine it for its reality, its truthfulness, and also apply it to perhaps what you felt on your own with those you've loved and lost. The system exists for a reason. The system of the Akash, in its very basic form, exists for karma. But when you start enlarging it and enhancing it, and you start looking at it with full enlightenment, it explodes with what is there. And suddenly you realize there's so much there in remembrance of good things, of challenges, and also of the family which is there. Why is it put there? Dear ones, it is put there so that as you start examining these things in the light of oneness, in the explosion that you are calling that which is enlightenment, it soothes your soul. It's a help for humanity that cries for those who they've lost, who wishes that they would be back. This is a magnificent gift for you, to know that you are never alone, and that a piece and a part of your family arrives with you as soon as they pass over. Within a 3-day period, it begins. I have a challenge for you, for all listening to this. Could you begin to teach your children early that the day that you close your eyes in what is called death and transition, that you pass partly into them so they'd never be alone? A child who starts to hear this early will start to accept it and have a better pathway to an enlightened state of the Akash, expecting to feel it, knowing you're there, and the comfort that you're not gone. Is this too strange for you to tell the children? Can you see the sense in it, where they would then expect this and be comforted by it and know the truth of it and cognize it as something that is real? Let's go to the next step. And this is one that not all will achieve. But in the evolution of the Akashic awareness, there's something else. You may have heard that specifically in this land, that there are some who become fully aware and know of their next incarnation. Now that would require, would it not, an extended Akash. If I took you back to the original teaching many years ago, we taught of the cave of creation, that your Akash and how it is stored on the planet never leaves this planet. In transition, you move to that which we have metaphorized as the cave of creation, and you leave the essence of your Akash in what we have also metaphorized as a crystalline substance. And you pick it up again when you return. It never leaves the planet. It belongs to the planet. Gaia knows who you are. What if you reached an attainment of enlightenment that was so great that right now, as you are a human being, you can also travel to the cave of creation and see what's next? And that is a doable thing, dear ones. Not for everyone, but for those who have questioned whether it is even possible. Now I have just given you how it works and the fact that it is indeed possible. Can you see the theme of this? The theme is that the higher you connect with yourself and the oneness of all things, the clearer these things become. And for those of you having trouble connecting, again, I will tell you, get out of the linearity. Get out of the processes. Get out of the objections of the whys and the hows and the what ifs. That is the intellect which lays upon you, which also is very much part of the ego that analyzes what you think is possible or not. If you can get rid of that and come to a place where you simply are, and the being that you are is one with everything for a moment, things begin to clear. I'm not done. In this soup of the Akash, there is even more. For the Akash permeates your DNA. It is the main remembering source for you. It drives so much of what you are and helps you to remember, gives you the wisdom of the path and the past, and pushes forward your evolutionary soul. For the past lives that you have had, dear ones, are experience. And the more you can then cognize this and remember it like any other experience, they become steps in a school. Old soul, you've been those places and you've done those things. And suddenly you start to remember this and you never have to do them again. There is more to teach, but that's enough for now. Enjoy this monastery where these things are taught and where there are those who become one with everything. And so it is.